Joshua 5:13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword. This man has a sword. In Jeremiah 47:6, it's called the sword of Yahweh. The sword of Yahweh. Isaiah 36:4, Yahweh has a sword. So whoever this man is has God's name in him, and a lot of times he has a sword. It's in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No." He didn't say this one or that one. He said, "You're wrong in both cases." "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell at his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And here's what this man with the sword in his hand, who Joshua saw, said. And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals." Does that sound familiar? From your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. In Exodus 15:3, Yahweh is a warrior. Yahweh is his name, it says. In Isaiah 9, he's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. In John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, we get into this kind of a Greek thinking. Again, we've mentioned that you pull out a drawer and you say, "Okay, I want to look at Jesus," and you pull out a file and you have this file on Jesus, right? And the file on Yahweh, and the file on Elohim, and the file on God and Father is all in there, right? That's not Jewish thinking. And that's not biblical thinking. When you pull out Jesus, you better pull out the Holy Spirit, the Father, Everlasting God, Wonderful Counselor. You better pull them all out. Because when you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. You can't split them up. He only limits himself in thinking when he's growing up and wanting to learn. He limits himself. He's able to do that. He stepped out from glory. But he should not be limited by us in any way, shape, or form. Psalm 24:8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Who is this Jesus who was in the Old Testament? Who was in the desert? When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I blot them out, you shall now not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do as they do. But you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from you. So this angel, whoever this angel is, Jesus, the theophany of God, the Christophany, if you will, in the Old Testament. Now here's some other examples. The angel of the Lord is an angel or his angel or the angel. In Genesis 24:7 and 40, the angel of the Lord will lead Eleazar. So somebody is leading somebody. You understand? They're seeing an angel at points here. Exodus 23, we've already mentioned. Numbers 22, an angel with a sword in Numbers 22. Remember Balaam? The angel is standing there with a sword. Judges 5:23 with Deborah. Read her story. In 2 Samuel 24, the angel punishes Israel. He met David. Remember? The angel of the Lord met David there. In Zechariah 1, "I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem," the angel said. I am? The angel of the Lord is. That's the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord also shows up as a physical manifestation of other things. The burning bush. This person meets Hagar, remember, in Genesis 16. This person, three men, come to Abraham, remember? And one of them is God. Another one stops Abram's hand from killing his son. One struggles with Jacob. The burning bush again I mentioned. In Acts 7:32, Stephen says, "There came the voice of the Lord, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob," in one of those theophanies. Exodus, the pillar of fire. Judges 6, Gideon burned a goat. Remember in the cakes and the fire, there was a man there. And the food was burnt up, like the Lord usually takes his sacrifices. Same thing in Judges 13 with Samson's parents. And another one before Joshua and the priest in Zechariah 3. You see what happened there. And remember here a lot, fire is involved in a lot. Pillar is involved a lot. Wind is involved a lot. What happened at Pentecost? Wind and fire. Knowing the New Testament demands a command of the Old. There's New Testament allusions of these things. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, they all drink from the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. Of course, he wasn't the rock, but that rock is a form of Christ. There was no theophany there, but the picture is there. John 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So many Old Testament illustrations either allude to Jesus Christ or they're revealing him as some kind of theophany. So Jude is using the same word that you fully understand. The church was fully committed, the scriptures were fully committed to the church, and they, same word, fully understood these illustrations. So now, part B. So let me read first again. Now I want to remind you, although you fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Who did it? Jude is saying it's Jesus. Specifically. Now again, Jesus said, if you have the Father, you have the Son. So we don't want to split them up. But this is giving us a link back to the Old Testament. And then when you do that, and you go back and read 1 and 2 Samuel and Chronicles and others, and you put Jesus in there where David is and Solomon is in some of those places, you can see much more typology than you can if you just go read it as history. Jesus is all the way through the Old Testament. Now, in Numbers 13, you remember the spies were sent up to the land to spy out the land. 12 spies went. 10 came back and gave a false or a bad report, and only Joshua and Caleb gave good reports. Because of that, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And you remember that at the end of those 40 years, the entire generation was killed off, right? Basically attrition. They died off. You understand that? Some were killed, but in general, they died off. But again, if I mention the destruction, if I mention the golden calf, when Moses is up on the mountain, if I mention the golden calf and the destruction that came after that, if I mention the destruction that happened during the snake issue, people died there. If I mention the plagues by sword and other things, you remember that these things were discipline on Jesus Christ, on the people of God. So how does this help us? How is this going to help us going forward in Jude? Because you're going to see these things. We're going to talk about Cain and Korah. We're going to talk about the angels that rebelled and all of those things. And then I want it to lead to this kind of a picture. I want us to recognize what's coming. Revelation 19:11. Then I saw heaven standing open, and there was before me a white horse, and its rider is called Faithful and True. With righteousness he judges and wages war. Is that literal? Or is it figurative? John 12. Lord, who has believed what he has heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. Jesus Christ came in the flesh to reveal himself as the Son of God, the man of God, God incarnate, Emmanuel. And what happened to those people? They did not believe. And so then Jesus says to them, your house is left to you desolate. And you will not see me again until you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. Is that literal or figurative? You see, Jude is dealing with the idea that Jesus Christ came to save, and next he's coming to judge. And that's why this is a book of warning. To the church in particular, remember who this is to? This is not to the world. They're not going to understand this. This is to you and me and the rest of the churches, given right at the time that the apostasy is supposed to rise up, just before the revelation. We need to take this literal and futuristic, and that something very interesting is coming. The world has two options. We honestly have two options. There's going to be a rude awakening when Jesus comes, or there's going to be a glorious appearing. And we want the glorious appearing. I want to show you a map. That's a current map of the Middle East. And there's a cross there because Jesus, we know, went to Jerusalem. We know he went to Israel. He was all over Israel. We know also that he promised to come back there, right? And if you read Ezekiel 40 through the rest of the book, you're going to see that that's where the throne is going to be. The prince is going to be there, Jesus Christ. And he's going to be reigning from there. We all believe this, right? Now, in Numbers 10:13, it says this. This was the first time they set out on their journey according to the commandment of the Lord, by the authority, the hand of Moses. The first time? Did Moses go back and take them out of Egypt the second time? Where in the second time? Now there's two exiles. We know that they were in Egypt once. There is another one. They're in Balaam, but Moses didn't. In Babylon, but Moses didn't go get them. The king allowed him just to go back. Where's the second time that they are led out of Egypt? It's in your Bible. Isaiah 11. In that day, the root of Jesse shall stand. He will extend his hand a second time to recover the remnant. Watch. Remember, the first time, it was literally by the hand of Moses. Now, God is going to extend his hand again. Watch. These are the places. It's in the same verse. Just go read Isaiah 11. Where is he going to extend his hand to bring his people from? Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, which is southern Egypt, northern Sudan. Cush, which is Sudan. Elam, which is southwest Iran. It's not all of Iran. It's southwest of Iran. In Shinar, which is where all the trouble started, by the way, on the border of Iran and Iraq, in Hamath, which is Syria, along the coasts, and you can extend that probably out further, and in Jeremiah 49 says that he will come out of Eden with his robes drenched in blood. He saves his people from Bozrah, which is right there where that last cross is. You know that in Micah 5, again, it's become one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. Micah 5, O little town of Bethlehem, you who are, you know, a nothing really, this little town, Bethlehem of Ephrathah. Out of you will come a what? A king. So we sing that during Christmas. Have you read Micah 5 and 6? 4, 5, and 6. When the Assyrian is in our land, wait a minute. Wait. Jesus Christ is this king. He's going to, and by the way, it starts that whole passage in chapter 5, Jerusalem, muster your troops. He's going to come into the land of Israel when the Assyrian is in the land again. The Assyrian is a picture of the Antichrist. Jesus is going to kill the Antichrist. You mean he's literally going to do that? Well, he's done it before. He's been all the way through the Old Testament. And Jude tells us this. Where did Jude get this idea? Jude, what are you talking about? How can you go there? There's a couple things that we're going to find out in Jude that are not written other places, alluded to in a few places. But you remember that Jude is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And I'm pretty sure, you know, these boys did not come to Jesus until after his death. I'm pretty sure Jesus had a meeting with some of them, if not all of them. James was beheaded. Others. Something's happening in this book that is very odd and yet very helpful. Isaiah 19, he will send them a savior and defender to rescue them. The Lord will make himself known to Egypt. This is Isaiah 19 after Moses. So who is this savior and defender going to Egypt? That's Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 49, I will send out the sword after Elam until I finish them off. I will set my throne in Elam. I will set my throne in Elam? Why is he going to do that? When did that ever happen? I heard a really good Bible student, teacher the other day, and he came across and he said, this has already happened. How? His throne was never there. I don't know why. I can assume reasons why. Kings always had a couple of different places and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't want to go there right now. But we know that is the eastern extent of Eden. So that part we do know. Isaiah 63, who is this who comes from Edom? I already mentioned that. In crimson garments from Bozrah. He said to the Pharisees said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? You remember what Jesus said before Abraham was, I am? Genesis 18, remember the strangers to Abraham. Isaiah 41, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend. So now I'm going here with this friend thing. God was a friend to Abraham. Who was it that walked between the carcasses when Abraham was asleep? Strong question. James 2. The scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God, and he was called a friend of God. Exodus 33, Moses spoke to God face to face, or God spoke to Moses face to face, because he was his friend. Exodus 33. Then Moses said, the Lord said to Moses, my presence will, in fact, I think I have it here, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Freedom. Back to the freedom and war thing. Now watch what Moses says. If your presence does not go with us, Do not lead us up from here. What was the promise before? I will send my angels before you. Before you. What does it mean to us? John 15. You are my friends. If you do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. John 14:3, and I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am with you, you may be also. Finally, I'll leave with this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, the things that must come soon. He, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and make us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. When we go through the rest of the book of Jude, I want you to keep that in mind. I think Jude wants you to keep that in mind. He threw out something there that nobody else really has said. Paul alluded to it. But Jude specifically says that Jesus Christ was with them. Now the man Jesus, the incarnate man Jesus, was not there. Jesus was there in a Christophany, a theophany of something else, a fire, a pillar, an angel, and sometimes a man. But he was there nonetheless. And he's coming again. With so much of the church puts the emphasis on these things have already happened. It's nothing like this is going to happen. Jesus showed up and he died and that's it. The reason they can't take this stuff literal is because they don't think he really did it in the first place. That's why Andy Stanley says, unhitch yourself from the Old Testament. It's not important. And Jesus said, all of these things spoke and speak of me. I would challenge you to dig into the Old Testament in 2021 and kind of get a picture of what is coming in front of us. All those typologies, because you're going to see it with your eyes. And we may still be excited and surprised, but we'll know something in advance and have hope and joy now for that day. Please stand, and we'll just sing this last verse. My Jesus, I love thee. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Lord, thank you so much for a picture of who you have been for eternity. We see pictures of you. We see illustrations of you, your character and your very person in the Old Testament throughout the scriptures. Help us see it more. It gives us hope of the person we will serve, the person we will see when you come again. We want to be surprised and we want to kneel at your feet, Lord God, but we also want to have joy and strength and encouragement now, to be able to see your picture, to see the pictures of you now and know you better now. That's what you want from us. You want us to know you. Go with each soul here, Lord God. May we be a light in the community, in our families. For those who don't know, may they take the warning that you are coming again. Actually, for us, it's the hope. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' precious name.